All of you, grace and peace in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has gathered us together. I am so excited because when I look outside, I see clear blue skies. And do you know what will look beautiful against a clear blue sky? A bright orange pumpkin. Now, Brett, it says in the bulletin after service, what time you want us to gather at the Feather Farm? Ask my wife, Sally, what time you want us to gather up there? Sometime after Sunday school. 11, 12 o'clock, somewhere in there. And what's that? Whoever gets there first makes the campfire. Just light a match. But well, there are a lot of great things going on in the life of this church. Next week, we are going to have a time of baptism and new members, and looking forward to that. It's also going to be Veterans Day. We'll honor our veterans on that day. The following week is our church conference. Our superintendent, Sung Chung, will be here. He will lead us in communion on that day, and then we'll have a time of conferencing after that to set the agenda for next year and to take a time for a celebrating ministry with our superintendent. After that, on the 21st, Kristen's going to be busy because that's the date that is set for the C-section. And I know you have said you want to have this baby naturally strapped to a table and numb from the neck down. Just like God intended. So that's the day before Thanksgiving. So we're going to have a little turkey on Thanksgiving. And then the Sunday after that, Luella Krieger is going to be here and will lead us in a time of worship. I don't know what she has planned. I never do. But I know it'll be great. And it'll be a time for us to learn through her leadership in the church. And then the 2 weeks following that, we're going to have, I'm going to take some time off. I'm taking time off in Advent. Is that even legal? It is. One of those Sundays, Mon is going to lead us in the ministry. And one of those Sundays, oh my, Brett's going to lead us in a time of the sermon time. He's nervous. I don't know why. He does it every week. But it's an opportunity. And then we're going to have the children's program on one Sunday. And then I'm not sure yet what we're going to do there with one of those extra Sundays. But we'll figure out something. I'll be back on Christmas Eve and lead in the daytime and nighttime services. And then, believe it or not, it'll be 2019. And we'll be moving on to next year. It just goes so fast. But I am thankful. I'm thankful to Brett and Mona and to Luella and to the kids and to whoever is going to lead us on the extra Sunday, because when Ryan was born, I was in the first year of my time at Eldersville, and I was also in my first year of seminary. And so the first 6-8 months of Ryan's life are a complete blur, because it just went so fast, and I was so busy learning Greek. And I tell you what, I barely remember the time, and I barely remember Greek. So I'm not much use when I have so much on my plate. So I'm thankful for this church for giving me the opportunity to take some time to spend with my baby and to spend with my wife and my son, and just to get used to the new rhythms of life before we pick up again in 2019. So busy times. Never will she have a baby at the beginning of Advent again, she says. Or ever. All done. We're all done. But I want to extend to you an opportunity. Coming up in 2019 is a time of conferencing for our church, the United Methodist Church at Grove City, called the Annual Conference. Now, usually I have to cajole somebody. I have to take their arm and twist it like this to get somebody to want to go to annual conference at Grove City. And so rather than do that, I want to extend to you, this church, the opportunity to go and experience annual conference. I need one person to stand up, don't do it now. One person to stand up and say, God's calling me to be that person who will represent the church at annual conference at Grove City in June of 2019. It's the first week of June, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 5th through the 8th. And so if that's something that God lays upon your heart in the next hour, let me know after church. If more than one of you comes, that's great. Yeah, we can transport you if that's necessary. We pay for your time up there, and the meals are all covered. And so it's an opportunity to learn a little more about the church and to have an opportunity to have a voice in the affairs of the church, the United Methodist Church as a whole. So that opportunity's there. I could go and twist an arm. But I don't want to do that. I want somebody to say, God's calling me to this, and there's nothing I'd rather do than to go and be a part of that. So be thinking of that as we spend some time here in worship today, and maybe in the midst of watching a pumpkin soar through the sky, it'll hit you. Maybe I'll put you out in the field, and the pumpkin will hit you literally on the head, and that'll remind you. But I hope that someone will say, yes, here I am, send me for that. Let's go to Scripture this morning. Gospel of Mark, once again. The good news, in 2019, we won't read Mark at all. But for now, we're there. And let's stand together and in body or in spirit, however the Lord allows you to show reverence for God's Word. That's why we stand. It's not for any other reason than we can't help but be reverent in the presence of the Scriptures as we read today from Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 25. I know the Spirit will lay upon you His word through this time today. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in a distance a fig tree in leaf, He went out to find if it had any fruit. And when He reached it, He found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then He said to the tree, "May no one eat fruit from you again." And His disciples heard Him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. As it is written, or as He taught them, He said, "Is it not written? My goodness. My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill Him, for they feared Him, because the whole crowd was amazed by His teaching. When evening came, Jesus and His disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if any of you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Let's pray together. Lord, we give you thanks for this word that needs to be read because your Holy Spirit has inspired it and it is filled with your truth. May it be our truth and may it inspire us to be your people called by your name and bear good fruit. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is nothing worse than opening up the drawer or opening up the cabinet of your kitchen and being hungry and looking for something to eat and finding perhaps that one box that you were really hungry for. Ooh, candy. And to open it up and to find that your husband has already eaten it. I say your husband because I know, wives, you never leave the empty container in the cabinet, right? You always throw it away. It's always the man who eats whatever is in that container and puts it back on the shelf. Anybody ever experienced that? You ever had that moment? Oh, I can't wait to eat this thing and open up the... And nothing. It's empty. I like strawberry ice cream. I like vanilla ice cream. I don't like chocolate ice cream. Kristen once opened a container of Neapolitan ice cream, strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla, and found nothing but a slab of chocolate. Because I had eaten the strawberry and the vanilla, and I put it back in the freezer. She said, why did you do that? You know, there's nothing more discouraging than seeing something and oh, it looks good, it looks tasty, but it's empty inside, like a kid who gets nothing but empty wrappers for their Halloween trick-or-treating. And that is the case with Jesus, where he sees a fig tree in bloom, and Jesus knows the seasons. Oh, it's not even fig season, but boy, that looks good. I'm going to go and have some figs. And he walks up to that tree and begins to examine. And even though the fig tree looks good, it looks like it should be producing the figs, he can't find a single fig on that tree. And he says, well, you know what? Just like that, you wouldn't go back to a house that gave you candy wrappers on Halloween. Just as you might scold your husband for leaving an empty box and putting it back on the shelf, Jesus says to that fig tree, you know what? No one's going to get any fruit from you anymore. I'm done with you, and moves on. But that fig tree, the next day, not only will it not bear any figs, it's withered. It's dying. Because Jesus has said this thing, and the disciples are impressed. Wow! Jesus spoke to that tree, and the tree listened. And if you've been paying attention throughout the time we spent in Mark, you see that's something that the disciples should have expected. Because every time Jesus speaks, something happens. When Jesus speaks to the waters that are raging, they calm themselves. When Jesus speaks to the wind and the waves, peace, be still, they calm themselves. Anytime Jesus speaks to the demonic forces that have invaded a person's body, they leave that body. They can't stay there because Jesus speaks to them. When Jesus says to the sick, be healed, they're healed. When he says to the blind, receive your sight, they receive their sight. When Jesus says to the lame, get up and walk, they get up and walk. And they're still amazed. Peter's still amazed that this fig tree that Jesus spoke to withered. Haven't they been paying attention? Haven't they been listening? Apparently not, because they still are amazed. And Jesus says, you can do this. If you have faith, you can do the things that I do. And Jesus says that to us today. If you have faith, you can do the things that I do. But too often, like Peter, we're not paying attention. Too often, like Peter, when we get out of the boat and walk in faith across the water, we see the wind and the waves, and we doubt, and we sink into the waters, and Jesus has to pull us out and save us again. But this isn't just a story about a plant withering and dying. We experienced that at the Sands household all the time. We can't keep anything alive at our house. We can keep humans alive. We're very fortunate. But plants all wither and die no matter how much we try, no matter how much we talk to them. Tell them good things. Aren't you a good plant? You're so good. You're going to grow and be tough. They all die. They all die. We must not have the faith. But this story is bracketing another story. And when you see that in Scripture, where there's a portion of a story, and then something else happens, and then there's the rest of the story, you can be assured that all of that goes together. That the writer put that there for a reason. Why there's this portion of story that's stuck in between another story. And what story do we find stuck in between the story of a fig tree that is withering? We find the story of Jesus cleansing the temple. Now think about this. Jesus is excited to find some figs on that fig tree. And he goes up and there's no figs there. Now what else in this story is Jesus excited about? He's going to the temple. He's going to this place that is described in Scripture as a house of prayer for all nations. A place where his Father is going to be worshipped a unique way that no other place on earth worships God the way that this temple does. And he is excited. He's going to find the fruit of that temple. He's going to find people gathering all the nations together to worship God in spirit and in truth, to be a house of prayer for all nations. But what does he find? He finds a marketplace. He finds people who are selling sacrifices. Hey, you came to the temple. Don't bring your sacrifice with you. Why not buy it at the temple? And we'll make sure to give you a great discount. I am Solomon the dove seller, and I will give you a better discount than Oliver the dove seller over there. And Oliver the dove seller says, oh no, don't listen to Solomon over there. I offer the very best doves, and I'll throw in a goat for free. They're haggling, and they're arguing over who can have the best deals. Jesus didn't come to make deals. Jesus came to worship the Father and to see a house of prayer for all nations. He's expecting a fig on that fig tree known as the temple. And when he gets there, he does not find figs. He does not find true worship. He finds buying and selling, and he finds a disgrace to the name of God. How dare these people use the name of God to sell their goods? And so Jesus just begins to turn those tables over. This is not what this house was intended for. Only Jesus can cleanse that temple that way. Now you can imagine that the people who were making money off of those deals weren't very impressed when Jesus showed up. And in fact, Mark says that they begin to think of ways to kill him. But they can't just take him and kill him because the crowds all love him. They are thinking, wow, this man is powerful. This man can do great things. He can even speak to a dead temple and just make things happen. And so, bracketing that story of Jesus cleansing the temple is this fig tree story. And I think we're meant to see them as one picture. That, yes, that temple was a fig tree that was in full bloom. And from afar, you might look at it and say, wow, what a beautiful building that is. What a great place that is. Look at all of the gold. Look what Herod has done. He is just increased it and made it a beautiful place. But there's no fruit there. That the worship of God is absent in this beautiful building. And so just as that fig tree withered, that temple withered and died because it bore no fruit. And I'm imagining when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, where they have said to Jesus, wow, you cursed that fig tree and it withered. That as Jesus is talking to his disciples, maybe they are standing here. What is Jesus looking at as he is talking to them? What's right behind those disciples? But that mountain upon which the temple stands. And so when Jesus says, say to this mountain, get up and throw yourself into the sea, it'll do it. Was Jesus, just like he had said to that fig tree, may no more fruit be born from you, saying to that temple, may no more fruit come from you. And sure enough, what happens? In about 40 years, the Romans come, and that temple is destroyed. And it's still destroyed to this day. There's no temple on that mountain anymore. We don't find our fruit in places anymore. We find our fruit in the Holy Spirit. And that fruit of the Holy Spirit will change the world around us. But beware, because the gardener is still looking for fruit. May he find love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control in the fruit of our lives, in the fruit of our worship space, in the fruit of our nation. Or else, we may be told, get up and throw yourself into the sea. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.